Morning is going to coincide with Bill's bulletin article that we have today, and that is on principle. Principle. Title of my lesson this morning is It's a Matter of Principle. Are you a man of principle? Are you a woman of principle? If you are a person of principle, then you're a very special person. And you are very much different than most of the world around you. Because sadly, most of the world around us is becoming less and less principled. Sometimes it amazes me what people are willing to do because they are not principled. A few years ago, I read a poll from an article titled "The Day America Told the Truth." And the article was by James Patterson and Peter Kim. And they asked this question. They said, what are you willing to do for $10 million? That's a lot of money. What are you willing to do for $10 million? Two-thirds of Americans polled would agree to at least one or several of the following. Would they abandon their entire family? 25% of people said yes, they would. One out of four said they would. Would you abandon your church? 25% of the people said that they would. Would you become a prostitute for a week or more? 23% said that they would for $10 million. Would you give up your American citizenship? 16% said they would. Would you leave your spouse for $10 million? 16% said that they would. Would you withhold testimony and let a murderer go free? One out of ten said that yes, that they would for that amount of money. Would you kill a stranger? 7% said that they would do it for the money. Would you put your children up for adoption? 3% said they would do that, and I think all of us may have considered that at some point. Now, most of these things seem like they're outrageous to us because we are Christians and we would never abandon our family. We wouldn't literally put up our children for adoption, and certainly we would not kill a stranger, murder someone for money. We won't violate those principles. And the truth is that most people actually would not do those things. But how principled are you? Because you are a Christian, and you are to live to a much higher standard than the world. So what we might ask is, what does it take for you to lie? What does it take for you to steal, to cheat, to break the law, or to sin in any way? What does it take for you to do that? What will you do for money? What will you do because it's pleasurable? What will you do for convenience, to win, to look good? What will you do to be popular and not to be shunned by your peers? We have opportunity every day to go against our principles as Christians. And so we need to ask ourselves, just how principled are we? Let's define principled. Bill did it in his article this morning. I'm going to do it again here this morning. Principle defined. Oxford Dictionary gives this definition. And notice as we read these definitions how perfect the Bible is for guiding us in our principles. Oxford Dictionary: a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior, for a chain of reasoning. The Bible perfectly supplies us. A fundamental source or basis of something. Again, the Bible. Merriam-Webster Dictionary gives in their simple definition, a moral rule or belief that helps you know what is right and wrong and that influences your actions. The Bible perfectly tells us what is right and wrong. And as a Christian, it should determine our actions. In their full definition, they said a comprehensive and fundamental law, doctrine, or assumption. A rule or code of conduct. And then as an example, it gives habitual devotion to right principles. Now that should describe us, should it not? Habitual devotion to right principles, a man of principles. Are you a man or a woman of principles? We could just as easily ask, are you a man or a woman of the Bible? Do you live according to the Bible's principles? God has given us principles to live by in His Word. The Bible is the source that we go to for all of our principles. Now, what made me think of writing this sermon a while back was watching the news and listening to the radio and listening to all the different politicians. I remember having several candidates, conservative candidates that called themselves Christians. But obviously, you could look at their lives, you could look at their actions, you could look at their fruits, and you could tell otherwise. Some of them obviously had not lived according to the principles of the Bible. I remember one of them was on the wrong side of moral issues. He was on the wrong side of homosexuality. He was on the wrong side of abortion in the past. But now he was saying that he changed his mind. And was he saying that just so that he could get the conservative vote? You know, it makes you wonder, what are his principles? Does he have principles that he lives by? Does he really believe that it is wrong now? Or is he just changing in order to get your vote? What will happen once he becomes a congressman? What will happen once he becomes a senator? What will happen once he becomes the president if he's not making his decisions based on biblical principles? Because if someone is not principled, then they're easily going to be swayed one way or the other. They'll change their mind in order to fit the situation. They'll change their mind in order to gain some advantage in some way. You know, I've heard commentators in the past saying, well, the Republicans are going to have to change their stance on some of these moral issues if they're going to win an election in the future. They need to change their stance on what defines a marriage because it's no longer popular to restrict it to a man and a woman. They need to give a little bit more leeway on the abortion issue. No, not at all. Not if they're principled. Not if they believe that these things are wrong. Not if they believe what the scriptures teach concerning these things. They cannot change at all. I remember President Obama initially said that he believed that marriage was to be defined between a man and a woman. But then he later changed his mind. Was he ignorant of the Bible principle? Did he not believe the Bible principle? Or did he not care about the Bible principle? Because the Bible did not change. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, God uses plain language. We just read that this morning in Bill's class. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is not going to change. That is God's word. And we will be judged by it one day. If we want our nation to prosper, then we need to be men that believe in Bible principles. And we need to have leaders that will lead us in those Bible principles. We as a nation need to believe in those principles, and we need to follow those principles. In Proverbs 14 and verse 34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This nation and its leaders, we have turned further and further away from righteousness. We've turned further and further away from God's principles. And we have become more and more accepting of sin. And if our nation turns away from Bible principles, we will fall. There's no doubt about it. And sadly, it continues to change. What made this country great, what made this country good, is being changed day by day. But we as Christians, we cannot be a part of that change. We have to be a principled people. As the world's governments and religions and people in general turn away from Bible principles, we need to be the exact opposite. We need to do the opposite, and we need to stand for the truth. We cannot be swayed by every wind of doctrine. As it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We have to continue to speak the truth no matter what. And of course, we need to do it in love, because we love those around us and we want them to know the truth. We want them to follow the truth. We want them to be right with God. We are told to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. We're told to reprove and rebuke and to exhort with long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3. And of course, we understand that that time is now. That time has come. We as Christians have to stick to Bible principles. We have to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if we're not the pillar and ground of the truth in this world, who is going to be? 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, he said, "If I tarry long, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." All of us gathered here today who are faithful members of the church of Christ, we are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. We cannot sway. If we don't stand up strong, who will? Even if all the world around us turns away from God and turns away from his principles, we, the church of Christ, cannot do it. We have to be a principled people. We have to determine in our minds and in our hearts that we are going to follow God's word. Now, how many examples do we have in the scriptures of men and women who did exactly that, even when facing death? I think of the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel himself, he was taken into Babylonian captivity when he was still a child. He was a slave in a foreign land under the authority of a foreign king. The king appointed Daniel and his friends to eat of the king's meat and to drink of his wine, but evidently they were prohibited. Now Daniel could have very easily given in to the request of the king, especially in his situation, and we probably would have excused him in that situation, but he did not do that. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. It turns out that Daniel and his friends were given pulse instead, and they looked better than the others who were eating the king's meat, eating his meat and drinking his wine. So Daniel purposed in his heart to obey God. He stood by his principles, and because of that, he was blessed. And we have to do the same thing today. We need to purpose in our heart, make a decision in our mind that we are going to stubbornly do God's will and stick to his principles no matter what. We're going to obey his word. Daniel chapter 3. Remember Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar had an image of gold made, and everyone was supposed to fall down and then worship this image. Otherwise, you'll be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. All the people fell down. They worshiped the golden image that the king had set up. All except for who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king gives them one more chance, and he tells them that if you don't fall down and worship at the correct time, you'll be cast into the furnace that very hour. And what was their response? To me, this is one of the most powerful sections in the scriptures that sends chills up my spine. In chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, "If it be so, Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Our God is able to deliver us, and even if he does not, we are not going to serve your false gods. They were going to serve the one true God. They were not going to disobey their God. They were going to stick to their principles, stick to God's principles. We have to do the same thing. And we're not facing a fiery furnace. We're facing much smaller things. What was the outcome? Well, they were thrown into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar was astonished when he saw four men in the fire. And one was like the Son of God, and none of them were burned even in the slightest. What was the effect on Nebuchadnezzar? Chapter 3 and verse 28, he said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." We need to make a decision that we won't serve any other God, but our own God. What are you willing to do in sticking to your principles? Daniel's just loaded with these examples. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel's enemies came up with a way to have him killed. They went to the king and asked him to sign a law saying that no one could pray for 30 days except to pray to the king. And if they did, they were to be thrown into the lion's den. When Daniel found out that this writing was signed, what did he do? Did he cower in his room and say, "Well, I better follow this"? No. He went home, he opened up his windows, and he prayed to God just like he always did. He obeyed his God, knowing that he would be thrown into the lion's den. Now, the king had a lot of respect for Daniel, but he had to keep his word. He threw him into the lion's den, and then he prayed and fasted that night before checking on Daniel early the next morning. The next morning, he cried out to Daniel. He said, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thy service continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions?" And then he heard Daniel's voice, "O king, live forever." And Daniel tells him how God had sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths. So again, Daniel obeyed his God. He stuck to his principles, even when facing death. And of course, God blessed him. Another great example is that of Joseph. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. I am going to read a little bit from that. In Genesis chapter 39, we all know the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He gained the respect of Potiphar, and he was trusted with everything that he had. And Potiphar, he was right to trust Joseph, because Joseph was a man that could be trusted. He was a man of principle. But then notice what happens, chapter 39, verses 7 through 12. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything for me that but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?'" Notice what he says there. "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out." Joseph made up his mind that he was not going to sin against his God. And he literally ran from the temptation. He literally ran away from the sin. And of course, we remember how she lied about him coming to seduce her and got him thrown in prison. But the Lord was with him, and eventually he rose to power, and he was second only to the Pharaoh. You know, that reminds me of a question I was asked when I was a very young man. And I first began to work in the prison, and I was working around a lot of other young men who were officers. And of course, we get to talking, and one of the young men asked me and the other men that were with me, they said, "What if you had a chance to cheat on your wife? And there's absolutely no way that anyone would ever know. Would you do it?" And of course I said, "No, I would not do it." And I was amazed to see how many young men said that they would cheat on their wife if there was absolutely no possibility that they would ever be caught. I said I would not do it. I said, first of all, there's no such thing as not getting caught, because God sees everything. He knows all things. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." You know, I also think of Psalm 139. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways." Verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." There is no night with God. There is nothing that God cannot see. And he even knows, of course, every thought that is in your mind. So there's no such thing as not getting caught. God sees all. In Numbers 32 and verse 23, it says, "Behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and your sin will find you out." There's no such thing as hiding a sin forever. It will come back to haunt you. And you will be held accountable for it unless you repent and turn to God. We need to always keep in mind that any sin that we commit is ultimately against our God. But couldn't we ask that same question that that young man asked? Couldn't we ask that about a lot of different things? Would you lie if you knew that you'd never get caught? If you knew that nobody would know the difference? Would you steal if you knew that you would never get caught? Would you cheat? Would you break the law if nobody's watching? What if I'm out there moose hunting and there's a big, giant bull moose, a 70-inch bull moose, and he's just across the line where I can shoot him, and no one's ever going to know if I shoot him, right? Is it okay to do that? No, it is not. I cannot do that. Not if I'm a man of principle. I can't just break the law because no one's going to see it and because no one's going to find out. If I'm a man of biblical principle, I'm going to put God's word first in my life, and I'm going to follow it. I'm not going to put money before doing what is right in the sight of God, even if it's $10 million. I'm not going to put pleasure before doing what is right, even if it's something that's very pleasurable and something that I want to do very badly. I'm not going to put popularity before doing what is right, even if it means I'm going to be ridiculed and shunned and maybe even hated by some people. And ultimately, I should not even be willing to put my life before doing what is right. The apostles, think about what they went through. They were beaten and commanded not to preach. But what did they say? They said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. And of course, lastly, the greatest example that we have of a man that was principled was who? Jesus the Christ. Not one single time did he ever go against his principles. Not one single time. He did the will of his Father in everything. Even going so far as to be willing to give himself on that horribly painful, excruciating cross so that we might have life. Jesus died on that cross. He gave his body. He shed his blood so that we might be saved. Those who believe the gospel, believe that he came and died, was buried and rose again. Those who believe the gospel, who are willing to repent of their sins, confess their faith, and be baptized into Christ can have their sins washed away. Have you obeyed the gospel this morning? Are you a Christian already? If you are, you should be a very principled person. You should do what is right, no matter what, because it is the right thing to do and because God has called you to do that. If you have a need this morning, if we can help you in any way, you can come forward as we stand and sing.